With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Joining us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he's Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Irvin, Hall of Famer, Dallas Cowboys. Love watching him on the NFL Network. Insider calls are brought to us by Quip. Go to getquip.com/2019 and get your first refill pack for free. Michael, great to have you with us.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you guys doing?
We appreciate your time this morning.
Still here in Cleveland. Crazy.
Yeah. After that last Thursday night game.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
As if it's not crazy enough here. Anyway, let me ask you this. As a guy who clearly knows what extracurricular stuff on the football field is all about, because you're
off the field.
Well, you were fabulous as Deacon Moss in the remake of The Longest Yard, and there was some nasty stuff going on there. So you know all about this stuff. You were great in that movie, by the way.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I thought you looked like a professional actor. Anyway, with all that in mind, what did you think when you watched this incident on Thursday night?
Honestly, guys, and we've all been in scrapes on a football field because it's an intense sport, and you can lose your temper because everybody's playing hard. Everybody wants to win. You know, you have some of the best athletes in the world, So I understand how intense it gets and everything. But when I watched it, you have to sit and think, okay, wow, but where this league is going and what they're trying to do. I mean, I knew right away that the league was going to come down heavy upon Miles for swinging that helmet at the kid at Mason Rudolph, and he didn't have a helmet on. They suspend guys now for hitting guys. You're not even trying to hit guys in the head when they're making tackles. It's just moving so fast. You know, somebody dip their head, you dip your head, and now you get head-to-head contact. You're ejected from games and liable to suspensions from that. So when that happened, I said, oh, my God, this is not going to come out well, because the NFL has to send the message that this we can never do. So you knew that was going to happen. Now, right after the game, we all talked about it on the set, and when Miles spoke, you know, at first I thought, man, maybe he shouldn't say anything because it's just, you know, you're probably still in the midst of a game. You got some intensity still rolling through your veins and all of that. Maybe he shouldn't say anything. But after he spoke, my heart bled for him because I was like, oh, my God, you can see it. It wasn't like, yeah, you come after me, I'm not going to have you come out. It was, he knew he was wrong, and he sounded contrite right after that. So, you know, your heart started bleeding for him and wishing it wouldn't have happened, but it did.
What did you think of the fines that came down? And we still don't know what Miles is going to go to New York tomorrow and go talk to them, which is a little bit unusual for the player to actually go there for the hearing. But I'm just curious, what did you think that the suspensions were right? Did you think that, and I have a couple other questions beyond that, but did you think the suspensions were right? Pouncey, three games.
When we left the game, I said in the car to the guys, I said, well, they'll suspend Miles for the rest of the year. But they even went farther than that and put indefinitely on it, you know, which is really farther than the year. You know, so I think, you know, he'll go. And I like the fact that he's going to sit in front of the panel or sit in front of the people, because Miles is a presentable man, a young man, and you can see it. You can see it in his heart that he made a bad decision right there, and that was a mistake. He just kind of lost himself. So I'm glad that he's going to sit in front of it. And I think those guys will see that also. I thought Pouncey would get two games, is what I said in the car. I said, oh, he'll get two games. And what's the other guy's name?
Ogunjobi.
Yeah, Ogunjobi.
Ogunjobi. I thought he would get one game. So I thought they got it about close to right, you know. And I know the indefinite, I think that'll come back to either the rest of the year or at least a 4 or 5 game suspension.
Hall of Fame wide receiver Michael Irvin joining us. Obviously, Mason Rudolph got hit in the head with his own helmet. I don't know if any, and that doesn't, that's inexcusable, right? We all know that, Michael. I don't know if any of this happens if he doesn't start twisting Myles Garrett's helmet and knee him in, or right. kick him in the you-know-whats, and he's not been suspended, he's been fined. Should there be anything more on Mason Rudolph, in your opinion?
Well, they're fining him. And I think that's about right. You know, because as I said, you know, you get into scrapes. We get into scrapes. You know, it's intense. We get into scrapes. I'm sure Mason Rudolph has some frustration going on because he certainly didn't play well. And Pittsburgh certainly didn't play well. And you know the rivalry that is there. So for him, I think the fine is about right. And he did get hit in the head. Thank God he got hit in the head with that part of the helmet as opposed to getting hit in the head with the crown of the helmet, because he very well could have still been laying on that floor right now.
All right, Michael, let me switch gears to actual football here, because the Browns have won 2 games in a row. I don't know if anybody remembers that after beating the Steelers. But just your thoughts on Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry together, and then the Browns having the option at running back between Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt right now, and how powerful do you see the Browns' offense now?
Well, going into the season, I thought the Browns' offense had, wow, man, there's so much star power, and they were ready to take off. But I think it happened that way from the standpoint of what we want to see. When you got those shiny objects, and this was tough for Freddie Kitchens. I had the first-time head coach. And you're calling plays. And you have all of these shiny objects that are superstars. Odell Beckham is a superstar. Baker Mayfield is a superstar. Jarvis Landry is a star. And you got to satisfy all of these nice, shining objects. And then you got a Nick Chubb, who is probably, honestly, and nobody ever says it, the most underrated player in the National Football League. For what he does and the credit he gets, I feel safe in saying he's the most underrated player in the National Football League, because Nick Chubb's a bad boy, and nobody gives him the credit that he deserves for what he's done and the way he runs the ball. But you got all these shiny objects that you're trying to satisfy. And they're trying to throw the ball and do certain things. I said, you got Kareem Hunt coming. I said, man, if Cleveland can just turn into a run-first offense and get everybody focused on stopping that run, and they have the talent to do that, to get everybody focused on stopping the run, then those shiny objects can take off. Because right now, everybody comes in. You got a second-year quarterback, and every defense coming in saying, we're going to stop this passing game. And with a second-year quarterback, that's a tough go for a second-year quarterback. Tom Brady didn't get great that route. Tom Brady got great by playing. They were playing great defense and running the ball early on as he continued to learn discerning and deciphering defenses. And then it turned over to him. Baker Mayfield had to come right in and get handed everything. And he's had to try to grow from that place as opposed to growing from an insulated place of great defense in a run game as he learns defenses and grow his offense. So it's a hard thing. And I said it last week and I say it again. If I'm Freddie Kitchens, I'm bringing everything back to this run game. With these two beasts I got now, with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, I'm about to try to run this ball down your throat. And then when you come in and give me 8 or 9 man box, it's going to be an air raid that you have never seen.
Michael Irvin joining us, Hall of Fame wide receiver. Michael, you're kind of describing what you had in Dallas. And I'm wondering, you know, you had Emmett, you had Troy Aikman. Your first year under Tom Landry, you're 3-13. Then you go to 1-15 when Jimmy comes in, 7-9, 11-5, and then you won 3 Super Bowls in the next 4 years. How did you guys go from awful to Super Bowl champs? Because that's what the Browns are trying to do.
Yeah, and man, you bring up a great point. And I said that on air, too, before. It takes levels to this thing. Nobody goes from 0 to 100 and stay there. You'll see teams went from worst to first and maybe get in the playoffs and have a run, but they won't stay there. If you're intending to stay there, you have to go through those levels. You have to learn certain things at certain times, man. We were 3-13, and I was like, oh, my God, this is ridiculous. I didn't lose. We won three games. I don't think I lost three games in my whole career at Miami. When I got to Dallas, I was like, this is ridiculous, man. And I was so shocked at how many guys were worried about making money and not winning games. You know, I was just shocked. And you get that in the NFL. It takes levels to this. So now what I thought Cleveland didn't understand this year coming in, because for so long this team has been hunting, but now with all the hype they got in the offseason, they were hunted, and they didn't adjust to that well in the Tennessee game at first. Like, you got to understand, people are coming in looking to measure themselves against you now. That's all part of the levels of growing. And I thought they'll take a step this year, no matter where they go. If they make a run and get in the playoffs, or if they don't make a run and don't make the playoffs, they'll take a step this year, because now they know, with all of the hype, they gotta match the intensity of everybody that they're playing against. That's what you must do. You gotta match the intensity and match the hunger of those guys that you're playing against.
Hey, Michael, last question for you, and I just want to go back to the Myles Garrett thing real quick. So in 94, you got fined $12,000 for swinging a helmet. How have we changed since 1994 to now, and why is it so much different?
Well, because of what the league is trying to do, and because of that fine, that lawsuit of concussions. And now that we have that information, this is so much more important to make sure that we're not intentionally doing those things. I used to block people with my helmet. If I wanted to send a message to you, if you came up and pressed coverage for me all the time and trying to be aggressive with me, I would grab your shoulder pads and headbutt you. Man, every time I did it, I got dizzy. I think back now about all of those times, like, what the hell was I thinking? You know, I'm going to give my own self CTE because I didn't know. So I used to do it myself. Boom, just hit you right, grab your shoulder pads and come to go. And I know they were dizzy because I was dizzy after I did it. You see what I mean? But we are in a different time. The league's not going for that anymore. When I came off the line in the line of scrimmage, if you pressed me too much, I would take my hand and hit you upside your head and cover your ear hole. I know your head was ringing. And they would fine me, and they would send the fine to me on Monday. I would say the money's already there. I sent it on Friday because I knew I was going to do it. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But now that's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable, and you're doing it. It's unacceptable in defense hitting you. We ran a bang eight. We called it a bang eight. I'm 12 yards. I'm going to take a slight slant. Troy has to hit me with that ball 18 to 20 yards, a yard inside the numbers. It's called a bang eight because he says as soon as the ball gets there, you're going to get hit. Or right before the ball gets there, you're going to get hit. Right before we broke the huddle, he would say, go up big. That means you're going to get hit in the mouth. That was legal. And then I would go, when I retired, we had a course, we had segments on TV called Jacked Up, where we would promote, oh, man, he got jacked up while people wobbling off the field. That was then. This is now. Times have changed, and they're not allowing it because of the information that they've got from head injuries. I wish I would have known. I would have kept my own damn head out of those situations. But I didn't know, and I was ignorant, and I used my helmet as a weapon, which is illegal now, but it wasn't illegal then.
Michael, we can't thank you enough for your time this morning.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, guys, and thanks for bringing up my history on that, too.
Hey, well, I'll give you one other. You should have won an Oscar for Deacon Moss. I just want you to know that.
Man.
You should have won an Oscar for Deacon Moss.
Let me tell you one quick fast story on that, too, because it's so funny. Because my guy Pete Siegel, who was the director, he said to me, he said, Michael, I mean, I tell you, I fought against you. I fought against you having that role. That was too big of a role for a first-time guy. I said, Pete, okay. He said, but Adam fought for you. He said, and I must admit, Adam was right. We cast you perfectly. And I thought about it for a minute. Right before I went to go say thank you, I said, well, wait a minute, Pete. I said, you cast me as a prisoner. Now, wait a minute. What are you talking about? You cast me prisoner. He said, no, I didn't mean it. I said, okay, I'm just going to take that you said, okay, I'm doing a good job. But don't say it that way. You didn't cast me perfectly as a prisoner. But yeah, that was one of the fun things that would I've ever done in my life, man, to do that movie. So I appreciate you guys enjoying it.
Thank
you,
Michael.
Were great in it, man.
All right.
Michael, thank you very much.
All right, guys. Take care,
really, man. Appreciate your time. That was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Irvin.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.